WrestleSpective Radio is not affiliated with World Wrestling Entertainment, TNA Wrestling, Ring of Honor Wrestling, or any other sports entertainment entity or personality.
You're listening to WrestleSpective Radio. Learn to love it.
Hello, and welcome to WrestleSpective Radio at fairtoflare.com. I'm Jason Mann, and we are continuing our SummerSlam series with the main event of SummerSlam 2006. It is Edge defending the WWE Championship against John Cena. And my very special guest today, first time for her on the show, is Reanimator. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. It's my first time on any show, really. Except for maybe a call in here or there. So
okay, well, you're my special guest. The reason I chose you is because A, you're one of the my favorite wrestling fans on Twitter to talk to, and number two, I know what a giant Edge fan that you are, so I figure, you know, who better to talk with me about this match, Edge's one world title victory at SummerSlam, his first main event, I believe, and sort of a big moment of triumph for him in John Cena's hometown, nonetheless. So were you watching right at this time, or is this something you saw later?
The SummerSlam, I believe, was my first pay-per-view that I saw, because I had just started watching WWE. Maybe it was right after WrestleMania, and I only watched Raw for a very long time. And I believe this was the first pay-per-view that I went to the bar and watched with my friends.
Okay. So had you already developed your strong affection for Edge, or did that come later?
I was fond of Edge at this time. I hadn't quite turned into the massive obsession that it has come to be today, but I was definitely rooting for Edge.
Obviously, Edge at this point was with Lita, who was the women's champion, and they really did have kind of a dynamic chemistry. I'd kind of forgotten about how, I don't know, they just kind of oozed some sort of, I don't know exactly what you would call it, some sort of charisma, some sort of just natural, you know, arrogance and sort of hateability, but sort of sexiness too. I mean, they kind of had it all. It's really interesting looking back and seeing that, you know, 5 years later.
They were quite the power couple. Lita is actually the reason I started watching Edge, because I remembered her from when I was a very, very casual fan in 01, 02. Mm-hmm. Not even really a fan, just a watcher. But I remembered Lita, and I was like, who's this guy that's with Lita? I remember her, but who's this guy? And a little while later, I realized he was one of the goofy blonde dudes in the bathroom with Mick Foley.
Yes. That's right. Yes.
The reason I started watching Edge, and I loved them as a couple. I thought they were just great together. They were sexy, and they were powerful and sleazy. It was fun.
Yeah, it was a really fun time, you know, for them. And this is probably my favorite period for Edge, as far as just kind of the character and the matches that he had, and just kind of the connection. Like, I know a lot of people are really stout on his, you know, years dominating SmackDown with Vicky Guerrero, and those were good too, but I really do think that they're just some sort of added oomph that he had when he was with Lita.
This seems to be the defining period for him that most people think of when they think of him.
Yeah.
Just because it was so controversial, and it was, like I said, it was so much fun.
Yeah.
And they had such great charisma. Mm-hmm. I loved the Edge and Vicky storylines as well, but this was definitely a lot more fun to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of the whole Edge Cena story began in the beginning of 2006. Actually, at the end of the Elimination Chamber match at New Year's Resolution, Edge cashed in his Money in the Bank that he'd won, the very first cash in of Money in the Bank after Cena had won the Elimination Chamber. He came in, beat him up, speared him, and won the title. And Cena then won it back 3 weeks later at the Royal Rumble, and then kind of was dormant for a while. Edge moved on to a feud with Mick Foley. And had a pretty fun run, kind of first feuding and then teaming with Foley. And then Rob Van Dam beat Cena for the title. Then not too much later, got into a little bit of a legal trouble of I believe he and Sabu were driving a car and there were some drugs found in the car. So Edge ended up winning the title back in a three-way, and they had sort of, he and Cena had battled. I think they had a match at Saturday Night's Main Event, and then I think Edge was intentionally disqualified in that match. So that kind of leads to the stipulation here where if he gets disqualified, he would lose the title. And
Right.
Yeah. And, of course, I guess the big memorable thing the week before this was Edge breaking into John Cena's dad's house and slapping him in the face.
Just watching those videos today, too, mm-hmm. just to catch up on the feud a little bit. And that was some fun stuff.
I think this was one of the better, like, going to somebody's house store, you know, angle, because those usually kind of come off really poorly, like the Triple H Orton one in particular, where, you know, the home invasion one.
Yeah, that one was kind of painful.
Yeah.
I think that had a lot to do with Orton's actress wife, though.
Yeah, she did not help. That's true.
She was very painful to watch.
Yeah. They have yet to find a good actress to play Randy Orton's wife. They keep trying.
Difficult to find someone in some kind of talent pool that could at least look scared.
Because there was the one who looked orgasmic, you know, when she when CM Punk was going after her. Yeah, so.
I'm not going to blame her, but yeah.
Yeah. So we're in Boston, which is ostensibly seen as, well, it is basically his hometown, but he is not really cheered like the hometown hero, although there are moments in the match, particularly in the end, where people are pretty invested in him winning. So it's kind of one of those back and forth weird crowds, I would say.
They do have one of those, you know, if Edge wins, re-riot signs that's spanning the entire audience. It's up pretty much the whole match.
So yeah, Edge definitely has a stance
there. Let's go Cena chance. Mm-hmm. Although I did hear a couple Cena sucks after that. So.
Yeah. Yeah, there were definitely points where, you know, where there was the Cena sucks, and there were times where Edge was cheered. Even Ross acknowledges that, you know, Edge has his fans here, although he's talking about that when he's decrying, you know, the heinous act of slapping Cena's dad. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that commentary. I miss that kind of commentary so much right now, where they actually talk about the match and the storylines, and it was pretty fun to listen to again.
Yeah, I thought Lawler did a nice job too. We can talk about later, but at the end, when after, you know, Edge is able to pull it off through some trickery, he kind of praises how smart Edge and Lita were to set that situation up. And I thought he had some nice moments in commentary. I mean, I think when Lawler is engaged, he can be really good.
Oh, he can be, and he's proven it, but sometimes he just doesn't have the right partner to play off of, and he kind of goes, I don't know, senile? Is that?
I think he may be just a little bit lazy more than senile, but yeah. But I get your
He just doesn't pay that much attention.
Yeah, he's had to watch a lot of wrestling. I mean, he's been in it for 40 plus years. I mean, you know, you might
that's true.
He might drift off
once. Might get put down on it every once in a while.
Yeah,
I would expect.
So it's understandable. Cena here. I always like to note his evolution of his attire over the years, because he's really, really colorful now. But he has a black hat, he has a black shirt, and black jorts. They're definitely trying It's funny how Cena has become more colorful as the years have gone by. I guess they were still trying to market him to the teens and the, you know, the early 20s crowd, which, you know, of course, never really accepted him full, you know, wholeheartedly.
He was still trying to do the that kind of chain gang thing going on still.
Yeah.
Instead of really playing to the women and the kids and being flashy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we start the match off with Cena pretty much attacking right away. He forces Edge back in the corner. There's a nice moment where, like, Cena decides to go with the break, just kind of backs up and just kind of stalks him a little bit, and then goes after him right away with more pounding in the corner. Some nice punches and elbows there, actually, from Cena. So I enjoyed that, a little bit crisper than Cena can sometimes be.
Yeah, he was really aggressive at the beginning there, just went right for the kill, and Edge was, he had his scared look on,
mm-hmm.
his nervous look. It was kind of great because it did tie into, you know, the things he'd said on, like, WWE.com before that about how he was really angry at Edge for slapping his father and everything, and honor and whatnot. Added to the emotion of the match, appreciate whenever they can do that.
Yeah, definitely. They tease a ref bump early with Edge almost being whipped into the ref. I like how they set up instances where Edge, you know, could normally be disqualified, but he avoids those circumstances because obviously, you know, if he's qualified, he loses the belt.
Yes, shrewd.
Yeah,
he's not going to fall for that so easily.
No, he's a smart guy. You know, maybe he's not the you know, I don't know if he's quite Triple H smart, but he's still pretty smart.
No cerebral assassin?
No. He's whatever level is next below cerebral assassin is what Edge is, I guess. So Cena has a nice belly-to-belly suplex. Again, pretty crisp offense. He sends Edge in the corner, but then he ends up running into the ring post and falls outside. And Edge's
always looking to take the easy way out and let him get counted out.
Yes, yeah. He insists on the count out, and then Cena is able to get in at 8. Edge goes after him with some stomps. He works his back with some elbows and some forearms and hits a really nice standing dropkick. Edge,
I loved the dropkick. It was gorgeous.
It was very nice looking. And Cena ends up on the apron. Edge knocks him off, and then Edge insists on the count again. And then Cena, again, he's barely back in, I think close to 9 at that one. Right. So, and then Edge follows up with some really nice elbow drops to the back. Pretty relentless attack for a while. Cena gets a little bit of a mini comeback with some punches, but then he runs into a heel kick for 2. So basically, Edge working Cena over, Cena having a little bit of hope spots, and you know, Edge taking control through the sequence.
Yeah, it was kind of a slow pace and kind of methodical, but it was very intense, and so it wasn't boring.
No.
Even though it wasn't high flying spots and everything like that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was sound. Everything was pretty crisp and looked good. And I thought it was a good start. They definitely take it down a notch toward the middle, but the end really, you know, comes fast and furious. I think the way they paced it was actually pretty nice. So at this point, Edge does some forearms, but Cena's able to punch out and gets the fisherman suplex for 2. That's not really a fisherman suplex because he lets it go right away. Then Edge ends up, they do a reverse Irish whip, and Edge ends up sending Cena flying outside. He takes a pretty nasty spill out there. They do another big count out tease, but Cena's able to get in at 8. And I noticed the fan at ringside who's screaming at Cena. A lot of the ringside fans are on Cena, but the particular line here is, "You fight like a little girl." So, hometown crowd.
I missed that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have good headphones. So I noticed that when I have the headphones in, I'm able, and particularly if it's a good YouTube clip, which I had here, you can really pick up some of those details much better than I could normally. Anyway, they trade punches. They do another Irish whip reversal. There's a lot of Irish whip reversals in this match. Cena trying it and then Edge reversing it. Anyway, Cena misses a body press on this attempt. Then Edge knocks him down with a clothesline. Sort of delays the cover, ends up getting 2. We really hear the Cena chance, a dueling Cena chance being notable here. Then Edge slows it down a little bit, works a neck vice, and then that kind of evolves into a chin lock. I like how Cena fights out of it, though, because he kind of grabs and twists the arm and then is able to, like, punch out of it. That's just kind of a nice different way to do it rather than always, you know, trying to elbow out of it and, you know, just nice little detail, I thought. And Cena ends up kicking Edge when he drops his head, but then Edge follows up with a really nice big boot for 2. I'd forgotten about Edge's big boot, but I know I recently reviewed for the WrestleMania series, reviewed the Edge Undertaker main event. And I, you know, Edge had a nice looking big boot, which is usually a thing you have with, like, the 7-foot guys.
Right. He's often doing the big boot. I did that, especially if, I think it's his long legs. That's why he can do that so well.
I mean, Edge is kind of a deceptively big guy. You know, I mean, everyone kind of thinks
he's 7 feet, but he is almost 6'5".
Right, exactly.
He's not He's not short.
Yeah, he's not. I mean, he's much taller than like Jericho, for instance, who's, you know, a normal sized guy. But Edge is, you know, you kind of think of Edge and Jericho as being similar sized guy. At least I, you know, would. But yeah, Edge is actually significantly taller. After that, Edge tries to climb the turnbuckle, but he gets crotched by Cena, who puts him in the superplex position. But then Cena gets pushed off, and Edge hits the flying clothesline for two. Then we get Edge working the camel clutch, which gives JR a chance to make an Iron Sheik reference. And he also brings up the back and lower back work that Edge has done on Cena, working him over there to kind of put over the, you know, what he's trying to do with the hold. Cena ends up lifting Edge.
You can really hear the left Cena sucks chance, too.
Yeah. And Cena lifts Edge and drops him hard backward. Usually I expect him to do what Hogan would always do, which is run the guy into the turnbuckle, but he does something a little different. Then they double count for, which reaches six, and then Cena hits the blockbuster off the ropes. Then Lita slides in the chair, but then Edge, of course, says no, we can't use the chair because of the DQ thing.
Swear I hear him say, "No, you idiot."
Oh, okay.
I went that a couple times. I'm like, did he really just call her an idiot? I think he did.
I thought it was Ross that called her an idiot, actually.
If you really listen close, it's in the same tone of voice as when he screamed no, but...
Okay, you know, you might be right. I thought it was strange that Ross would have done it. I mean, it would have been strange that Edge would have done it, but Edge is at least a bad guy, so, you know, that makes sense.
Right, and Ross was very against Edge this whole match, so...
Right. Well, I mean, you could consider the tactic idiotic, but... Anyway, that was a funny thing. Anyway, Edge is able to take advantage of that distraction by hitting his shoulder blocks, hitting his side atomic drop power bomb thing he does, and the five knuckle shuffle. But when he tries, five knuckle shuffle, which gets a good reaction. The crowd's really heating up here for all this. And then Edge counters the FU attempt with the Impaler DDT for two. And then he goes to the top again, and Cena catches him again. Edge was kind of Ric Flair-ish here with going to the top. Cena tries the Super FU, but is unable to do it. Edge ends up getting on
his... slippery when it comes to the FU. He just kind of slides right off his back half the time.
He did that a lot, yeah. He's able to, you know, he's snake-like in some instances.
No.
And Cena ends up getting a victory roll for two, which I don't think I've ever seen Cena do a victory roll. So there you go.
At this point or ever?
And in a match that I can recall. I don't recall him ever doing a victory roll. Not that it's like a particularly, I mean, he could have done it. It's not like it's necessarily that notable of a move, but
right.
I don't recall him ever doing one. So, and then Cena runs into a boot. Edge tries a body press, but Cena rolls through, lifts him up, and tries the FU. But again, as we said, Edge slips off. He tries to ram into Cena, but he ends up hitting Lita off of the apron. Cena gets a roll-up for two. And this is, you know, quite a flurry here, quite a pace. The crowd's really, really hot for these last, you know, 4 or 5 minutes of this match. And they were, you know, into most of it. They obviously slowed down a little bit during the rest holds, although, they, like you said, they were doing the dueling Cena chants, particularly in the camel clutch. Mm-hmm. And at this point, we get a double clothesline, another double count, and they're up at seven. Cena tries
I have a very fond of clothesline.
Not a fan of the double clothesline?
Not particularly. I mean, in general. Not just in this match, but in general. I think the double clothesline sometimes looks kind of silly. I don't know.
It does look a little silly sometimes. I will agree with that. They are, but I guess it serves a purpose in the match for, you know, two guys to be knocked down and the crowd to get to chant with the, you know, getting up at seven and both guys showing heart and spirit to be able to get up. So.
Right.
Yeah. Cena tries a body slam, but Edge hits the it's the execution, right? I get the Edge pun moves mixed up, so.
Yeah, it's the execution. They never call it anymore.
Okay.
I don't know why, but.
Yeah. He ends up, he's sort of fatigued, so the cover's a little lazy, and it ends up being only for two, which not that he's ever really pinned anybody with the execution that I'm aware of, but. Edge teases the spear, but then Cena's able to get him in the STF. Lita grabs the belt, and Tease is coming in. Yeah. Lita wasn't really very clever here. Well, I guess she's clever at the very, very end, but she doesn't seem very clever throughout most of it.
She just seems to be blatant with the no faith in Ed being able to win, kind of right in the front of the ref, saying, here, take the title and hit him. It's just, Lita, come on, girl.
No.
Slow your roll.
Have a little more faith in Edge.
At least be more subtle about it.
Well, Lita's... honestly, I would say that Lita's strength at this point was not subtlety with anything that she did.
It's probably a good point.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, now, when she gets knocked down off the apron, I guess we didn't mention... I think her shirt comes a little bit looser than it was. Like, I think she loses a button or something. Yeah.
That bit when he knocks her off the apron, I just sit and usually... It cracks me up anyway, because it looks like Edge is just going straight for Lita, because Cena's off to the side anyway. And when Edge passes, he kind of, you know, taps him on the shoulder as if he's pushing him into Lita, but he only really taps her. It's like, that's the closest thing to really something unbelievable that happens here.
Yeah, that was a little bit. The timing of that wasn't great.
They were just a little bit off on their timing there, I guess.
Well, it happened. Nothing was shown or anything, but I believe there was, you know, I believe there was more looseness than normal when it came to that at the end.
So on that top, I didn't even notice.
Yeah. Then, of course, Edge pleads with Lita not to attack Cena with the belt, then finally is able to stretch and reach the ropes. And as the ref is pulling Cena off, then Lita cleverly slips the brass knucks right onto Edge's fingers. I thought that's a nice little detail, even better than just handing it to him, you know?
Just slick.
Yeah. And Edge tries the punch, but Cena ducks it and puts him up in the FU. So Lita gets on top, ends up kind of scurrying around.
I love this.
Yeah.
It's so much fun.
Yeah. Well, you describe what happens then.
Oh, and Cena's got Edge on his shoulders, and Lita's over, jumps right on top of both of them. And so, of course, Cena's got both of them on his shoulders. I just think that stuff like that is so much fun because, it's kind of... silly and stretching your believability a bit, but it kind of showcases the strength and athleticism that really takes in the showmanship to do that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I just think it's fun.
Yeah.
And he flips Lita off into an FU, and Edge, being the slippery devil he is, slides right off.
Yeah, right in the back of the head. Gets him it gets a really good shot, actually. Really nice looking thing. Yeah, you're right that Cena, he had a number of things where he's sort of like lifting up Edge into, you know, whether it was lifting him out of the camel clutch or whether it was, you know, picking him up out of the body press and lifting him up and putting him on his shoulders. Cena did a lot of the kind of the feats of strength things that were pretty cool here.
And it is really impressive because you got to think that Edge is, 240 pounds, something like that at this point?
Sure.
No, I pay attention to these things when it comes to Edge. I'm sorry. But, no, but that is a thing to be able to pretty much deadlift a guy like that, you know, in front of your chest and then up over the shoulders. It's not, can't be an easy thing to do.
We've seen it definitely is a very strong man. There's no question about that. Anyway, after Edge gets the punch in the back of the head, as the ref is distracted by trying to get rid of Lita, he slips them into his pants and he rolls Cena over and gets the three count to a pretty giant excited reaction from the crowd. Mm-hmm. So they were certainly I would say they were surprised.
Jim Ross was just great. He hated Edge so much during this match. And he, you know, rolled him up when he got the pin. He was just like, "Son of a bitch!" It was great.
That's right. Yes, he was very, very adamant. He was upset. I mean, you don't slap a man's father.
He was very upset by him slapping his dad like that. He was just thought that was the most atrocious thing on the planet that anyone could ever do.
If he only knew that John Cena's dad was a trained wrestler, then maybe he wouldn't have been as mad about it.
Maybe.
Get, you know, a big celebration with, you know, Edge and Lita up on the stage. Yeah. We've got John Cena looking forlorn in the ring. You know, Ross making a big deal about that he's having the worst week he's ever had and losing in his hometown.
Right.
And I think the crowd, I mean, I think part of the reaction of shock. I mean, I think, you know, this being Cena's hometown, people were just kind of expecting him to win here and, you know, just kind of him getting the belt back. And, of course, it happened a month later. But I think the way they did it actually was kind of perfect, because it, you know, continued the storyline. It, you know, it had led to excitement at TLC and you know, and right. and some fun. And I like the idea of, you know, wrestling in the one guy's hometown, and then the next month was Toronto, Edge's hometown, and so that was kind of a neat little, you just, you know, happenstance that they ran into there.
Mm-hmm. So. And one thing I like about the celebration, it always makes me smile, is how much Edge just loves that title. I swear he makes out with that belt more than he makes out with Lita, and that's saying a lot.
Yes.
And when he's backing up the ramp, Lita comes running up the ramp, and he's like, "Oh, hey, yeah, you, hi." He never takes it for granted. Every time he gets in the ring with the title, he kisses it before he gives it up. Every time he retains or wins it, he just great emotion to it, and you just feel like he never takes it for granted, that he really appreciates it. Unlike, you know, some champions we've had them behind them into the ring and. And you're like, wait, who even has the title? Because they just don't seem to care. But that's one thing I've always appreciated about Edge. He really loves what he does.
Yeah, they did have they had great chemistry, obviously. I mean, and they had a they had a good rivalry here. They kind of revisited a bit in 2008 as well. So they definitely had some fun stuff, and no question about that. Yeah, Edge just always did seem like a guy who was having fun out there. I never really thought about that before, but you're definitely right. You know, he really did. You know, kind of carry himself that way, that he was enjoying himself, and you know, even when he did sort of serious stuff, you know, it was always, it always just seemed like it was, you know, it was good fun. So
he's just passionate about it. It's what he loves to do. And there were times, a few times, where you could tell he just wasn't into it, and he just wasn't as much fun to watch, like when he was on Raw last year. But when he came back to SmackDown and started having more fun, you could just see the light in his eyes, and he's a lot more fun to watch that way.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm projecting. I don't know, but
I think it makes sense. I think that's a good. I think that's a good theory.
He's one of those people you can just tell when he's on.
And you're gonna be meeting Edge pretty soon.
That's the rumor.
Yeah. Well, tell our listeners about you got a trip planned to SummerSlam 2011.
I do. I got my birthday was last month, and my friends that come over here and watch Monday Night Raw at my house every week, and I feed them and, you know, let them watch my big screen TV, and we have a great time. And in gratitude for all my years of doing this with them, they all pitched in and got me a replica Rated R spinner belt, which I believe the original he unveiled just after this match.
Okay.
Was it?
Yeah, must have been, because it wouldn't have been during the first ring, because there wasn't enough time, and
I think it was just after this match.
Yeah.
Later that week, I saw that his tickets were on sale for Access, and I got a wild hair and decided, you know what? My mother-in-law lives in L.A. I think I'm going to go stay with her for a weekend and go see Edge. Get my belt signed. Everything, and spontaneous moment, threw a trip together, and here I go.
Cool. Well, that sounds like it should be a lot of fun.
I hope so.
Yeah. It's the,
I'm pretty nervous. I don't even go to the grocery store by myself. So traveling to LA by myself and going to the arena by myself and hanging out all day at Access and seeing SummerSlam alone, going to be a little anxiety ridden, but I'm going to have fun.
Yeah.
Decided. Well,
yeah. I'm sure you will. So, yeah, exciting stuff. So, yeah, I would say, you know, this is a, you know, more entertaining match than I remember it being. I honestly, my first time seeing it, I just kind of thought it was just kind of there. But I really appreciated the energy here. I wouldn't say there was like a huge overriding story or anything, I guess, other than maybe, you know, Edge's attempts to avoid the disqualifications from Lita. You know, I wonder, I mean, Lita obviously was not, she was gone. Was it the next month or was it 2 months from here? I'm trying to remember. I think it was the same show where Edge lost the title, because it was, she lost the title to Trish, and they both went out. Basically, it was both of their retirement matches. Regardless, whenever it was soon afterward, and they. So I wonder if they were kind of thinking of, you know, having the Edge Lita, if they were trying to do any kind of, not really necessarily dissension, but just sort of Lita being not really competent anymore and giving Edge a storyline reason for her to be gone.
You know, I hadn't thought about that before, but that's entirely possible. And yes, it was Unforgiven the next month.
Okay.
I just looked it up real quick there.
Yeah.
and it was Unforgiven the next month that she and Trish had that match.
Okay, and I think Lita actually stuck around, but it wasn't much longer.
No.
Yeah, she was gone that fall. I know that. So
because they were both gone pretty close together. I was rather sad because I liked both of them.
Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah.
And then the Divas division kind of got sad.
It did get a little sad. Yeah. All right. Well, everyone, you can, of course, check us out at WrestleSpective.com and FairToFlare.com. We're continuing the podcast series until the day of the big show. And we will we'll wish Rihanna well on her travels. And thanks, everyone, for listening. And we'll be back again soon.
Let's be honest. Most wrestling websites suck. BS rumors, schoolyard gossip, plagiarism. It's no wonder why no one believes anything they read on the internet. Well, if you can't get something done right, you might as well do it yourself. Presenting the Fair to Flare Quarterly from the writers of FairToFlare.com and over a dozen other wrestling websites. We're not copy and pasting what we read in some newsletter. This is 100% original content from the best wrestling bloggers on the internet. In-depth analysis of the art of pro wrestling, debate, artwork, and humor. The Fair to Flare Quarterly will raise the bar of what wrestling journalism can and should be. Professionally edited and produced, and every contributor will be paid for their work. Order your copy of the Fair to Flare Quarterly today at FairToFlare.com. The better wrestling media has arrived.